Ladies and gentlemen, guess what?
We back.
That's right. We're back for another episode of No Business Like Show Business. Nadia, who do we have today?
We have an amazing casting director. I've known her for a couple years and I haven't feel like I haven't seen her in like forever. But we have the amazing Arlie Day today.
That is right. You have heard her work in Brothers and Sisters, Are You There, Chelsea, American Exit, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, CSI Cybers, too many to mention. Welcome to our show, Arlie.
Sweet.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasant surprise hearing from you.
We're so excited to have you. We had a couple people reach out. We have this thing where they're like, if there's anybody you want to hear from. So we had a couple people like submit your name. And
really?
Yeah, which was crazy. We have a lot of people, friends in common. So mm-hmm. who knows? It doesn't kind of, sometimes it's anonymous. Mm-hmm. He's the one that deals with all of that. Yeah. And then I was like, also, yeah, I haven't talked to Arlie in forever. I wonder if she would be willing to do this.
Yeah, that was... So surprised. I was trying to rack my brain, trying to figure out how we met. I cannot, for the life of me, remember.
I was actually thinking about that when I was putting Judah to sleep. I feel like we might have met through Stan Kirsch.
Wow.
And then I had auditioned for Mamitas, mm-hmm. and then you had cast me in that.
So that was like a decade ago?
That was a million years ago. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's how we initially met, and through like Michon and all them and stuff. So yeah. I think that's how we met. I think I was years ago. I can't even remember the show. I think I interned for you like one summer.
You did?
Really quick.
My memory is horrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure like how many like actors do you know and like work, you know, from office to office. So yeah, I think.
And we're just meeting tonight. Absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank
you for making space in your schedule and coming and hanging out with us. We had a tea incident earlier. So we're all recovering right now.
I'm not involved.
My legs are scorched, but hey, you know what? Take them for the team.
Arlie's like, I wasn't here. so we're just moving through that. We are so pumped to have you. Like in something that we were thinking about when we were getting ready is there's such an interesting perspective that a casting director has in terms of, you know, what we as actors don't often get. So we're excited to kind of mm-hmm. hear from you and your experience on the other side of that table. But before we get to there, I would love to learn more about your story. How did you get involved in casting? You said that you're a transplant here.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't grow up in LA. Where'd you grow up?
In Minnesota.
One
of my best friends is from Minnesota.
Really? From where?
I don't know exactly what part, but she's in Australia now. And I remember I surprised her for her baby shower. She was living in Chicago, but then we drove to Minnesota for her shower. This was at least 9 years ago because her little one.
Was it in the city or more of a suburb?
More of a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, what? Cheese? And then she was like, cheese curds. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's
and
Wisconsin. Like,
and then we went to Wisconsin too.
Oh, okay.
We drove from Wisconsin to Minnesota and then back to Wisconsin from Chicago.
You can always tell people who aren't from the Midwest by the way they pronounce the word Wisconsin.
What's the difference? I'm intrigued.
So the Midwest, it's one Wisconsin, all one. But you, because you're not from the Midwest, split it up. Wisconsin.
Funny. I didn't even notice that. That is funny.
So what brought you from there to here? What was your journey?
Do you want the long version?
I'm so in for
whatever.
Yeah,
we want to hear. I want to know more about you, Arlie.
Okay. So born in Chicago, actually, and then moved to Minnesota, moved kind of around, lived in Florida for a few years, but basically from about fifth grade until I graduated college, lived in Minnesota, mostly Minneapolis, a suburb just outside of St. Paul's where I went to high school, but mostly spent most of my time in Minneapolis. So my whole life, I wanted to be a news reporter.
No way!
That was my dream from a little kid on. So I went to the University of Minnesota, graduated with journalism and speech degree, and got an internship at the local Minneapolis news station
called... Oh, we lost you for a second. Minneapolis news station, you said?
Yep, Minneapolis news station called Care 11, and that was the NBC station there. Worked there for a few months. They ended up hiring me on full-time, so I worked there, I think, about 2 years and started to realize I didn't like working in news.
No way.
So I felt a little lost.
Yeah.
Just really, that had been my dream forever. And I was visiting LA quite a bit with my dad because my cousin was living out here, and I had two best friends, one from high school, one from college, living out here. So I'd always come visit.
Yeah. What were they doing out here? Not that it like matters, yeah, but what, no, it does. I always wonder what brings people here.
Yeah. So my high school friend is an actor.
Okay.
And then my cousin was producing reality.
Oh, okay.
She was a reality show producer. And my other friend was just kind of bopping around, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what she was doing, just odd jobs and living the life. We were pretty young.
Love it.
So visited a lot. And I remember one visit, my dad looked at me and said, "Why are you not living here? You love it so much. You don't want to work in news anymore." And I was too scared.
Yeah.
You know, just... But the Midwest is all I knew, and God, to just get up and go. It was like not even a question. It was
especially
not
here.
Gonna do that. I know, but he was such a force, you know, just live your dreams and go explore and just, awesome. Just do it, you know? And,
what an awesome dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, amazing. He actually just passed away.
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. But,
so he tells you, he says, go do it. He's a huge support. He's the, lack of a better word, wind beneath your wings. Mm-hmm, gives mm-hmm, you the truly, energy yeah. and the
but,
spirit.
But still I was no go.
Oh, gotcha.
And so our next visit, it was, I remember my cousin's 30th birthday, and she just had this like elaborate party, and there was celebrities there, and I just thought she was so cool, and we had such a great time. And then he was like, "Why are you not?" And so
Hello.
We had a major heart to heart, and then I said, "You know what? I'm going to do it."
That's
and
awesome.
I said, "I'm going to go home. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to start bartending again, and I'm going to raise $5,000.
You had a plan.
$5,000. Yeah. And as soon as I get the money, I'm going." And my cousin, you know, was the reality producer. Yeah. She started as an NBC page.
Okay, oh, yes. Yeah. I got friends that started in that program.
Yeah, so she actually got me an interview at the page program.
Awesome.
So since I was already working at NBC and sort of, you know, you had to have a college degree and the whole thing, I had all that set. I flew out for the interview and then didn't hear back. So 6 months about goes by, I'm, you know, at my bartending job, making my money. And I think I kind of at that point was sort of giving up on the dream of moving to LA. I don't know. I was getting comfortable. I was dating somebody, you know,
yeah. like I'm
getting
money.
Back into the groove. Yeah. The money is pretty great. And I remember being at my bartending job and I got a voicemail. And so I ran in the bathroom to check it. I don't know who I thought it would be. And it was the woman at the page program. And she said, "Okay, you know, you start in 2 weeks.
Oh, what? Goodness.
And I just started sobbing. And I think it was like happy tears and then just tears of fear.
Oh shit tears.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have to break up with my boyfriend. I have to get rid of my apartment. I need to really quit my job. I need
so
to pack
up.
I need to get out there. I need to.
Yeah.
So I did it. And that was what happened. I then was a page. And the program's so great. Their whole program is basically you're kind of, everyone's fresh out of college. Uh-huh. A lot of people aren't from here. So you're just meeting your instant friends.
Yeah.
And it's a transition between college and the entertainment industry. And so they guide you and help you. And they have something called assignments.
Oh, yeah.
So it's these 2 month long assignments that they would post on this bulletin board, and you and your fellow pages would compete for these interviews for these assignments.
Interesting.
Right?
Nice.
And the goal was, okay, so you work on, you know, say you're the, at the time Kevin Reilly was the president of NBC, and you could work on his desk for 2 months. And the goal was that he would like you enough to make you his assistant permanently. And then you weren't a page anymore. You were officially an NBC
right.
employee. So that was the goal. Well, somehow, some way, I knew I wanted to get into casting, even though I didn't know what casting was.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do that.
Yeah, it just sounded fun, but I didn't know what it entailed. I was going in blind, but they didn't have a casting assignment.
Oh, gotcha.
So my boss in the program said, "Look, if you want to just do sort of general informational meetings with some casting directors here at NBC, I'll set that up for you." So, of course, I said yes. And I met with a couple casting directors who just kind of, you know, gave me the lay of the land. And mm-hmm. one woman and I hit it off. And she had just, I don't know how long she was there, but she was an executive in their diversity casting. They were trying to really push diversity at that mm-hmm. point. That was 2005.
Wow, so that's kind of started then.
Yeah, yeah, push. It was really great. And so she said, look, I have my own budget. Why don't you come be my assistant part-time and see if you like it? And then, you know, you can kind of create your own assignment if your boss in the program will let you. So I did that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And so we worked together on a bunch of shows, and we actually produced and cast the very first diversity showcase at NBC.
No that's way. Awesome. Mm-hmm. What year was that?
2005.
That was 2005?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and so every year, you know, they do one, and they've gotten bigger and better, and now all the networks do it. And
yep.
it just feels really special to kind of be a part of that.
Right on the tip.
Yeah.
Tip of that, you know, that push. That's so cool. So you spend some time, you create your own assignment, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens after the PAGE program?
So I knew when I was there, I really wanted to work in independent casting. I didn't want to do corporate casting. And she also came from independent casting and kind of knew that would be better for me.
So what's the difference?
So it's a big difference. One, you know, you're an executive and you're overseeing everything, and you're overseeing lots of shows, and you're kind of, you're coming in earlier. So you're involved in sort of the development of the shows.
Got it.
And you know, you're not auditioning actors. So that's a huge part of it.
That interesting.
Creative aspect of it is taken out there, but you are, you know, working on lists and kind of helping the casting director that's assigned to that show. So for instance, we were working on Medium and just overseeing. So we never auditioned actors, but you know, if they needed help with ideas or we were doing a lot of generals. So actors would come in and we'd just meet with them. And that's a big thing in the corporate world. Lots of generals.
Yeah. I've heard of that before. A couple years ago when I had a theatrical rep, I would have friends that were kind of like, hey, you should do a general with somebody at Sony, or you mm-hmm. should do a general. And are those still pretty common today?
Yes. Actually, I covered for someone who went on maternity leave. She was one of the heads of casting over at TNT TBS.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I worked with them for about 3.5 months and never done more generals in my life.
Really?
No way.
Yeah. And that was just about 2 years ago. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. So they're still doing
lots
those.
Lots of generals.
So if you're an independent casting director, does that kind of mean that you're more freelance where you have to kind of be hired on?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
I see.
Yep. So you can work for multiple networks and it's not a conflict of interest because you're an independent contractor. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's good to know. So you can basically bop from show to show and even do like independent like features, and
you can be doing sort of as much or as little as you want, which is great. And you're making your own schedule essentially, you know. I mean, if you're on a show, you're going to be in the office all day,
of course.
So I kind of knew I wanted to get into independent, and she helped me kind of get my resume together and put it out on CSA, which is, you know, Casting Society of America website. They're so great about launching emails to assistants and associates for casting directors that are looking.
Is that kind of like a guild, the CSA?
It is a guild. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So you become a member just like an actor would become a member of SAG.
Correct.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yep.
And so in this process of figuring out, okay, I definitely want to do independent, you had mentioned that you knew you wanted to be a part of casting, but you weren't sure what that looked like or even what it would entail. Was it what you hoped it would be whenever you started, or was it different in a good way?
Mm-hmm.
What was the...
I think when I was working on the executive side, or on the corporate side rather, I don't know if I liked it or didn't. I think I just was going through the motions and it was like, this is cool. I'm like in LA and I have a job and you know what I mean?
You're like, here we are. I'm on a lot. I'm on a lot. Yeah.
Hey, that never gets old.
Yeah. And when we were pages, we had to do tours of NBC. So hour long tours. And usually you do like 2 or 3 a day. Uh-huh. Your job was different every day. So you'd be either giving tours of the studio or working the green room where you would... welcome the guest from the Tonight Show and bring them to the green room.
Right.
Or their dressing room or whatever. And then, there were so many different jobs. Oh, the Ellen DeGeneres show was on a lot, so we worked that. So sometimes we had to be place seaters and like dance, you know, when they do the dance in between and stuff. That wasn't my favorite.
You're like, can I pass on that thing?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
The Carson Daly Show, that was on the lot. So we also worked that show. But mostly the Tonight Show, that was like every single day you would seat the audience and then you would escort them out after the show and kind of do almost like security in between, you know, yeah. just watching the crowd and stuff. It was really, really fun and a very cool experience. And I feel really fortunate to have been able to start there.
Yeah.
But so moving on, we got my resume on CSA and the casting directors that did the pilot for Brothers and Sisters called and I interviewed and they hired me and then the pilot awesome. Got picked up. So I had a job for, you know, 5 seasons plus the pilot.
So awesome.
That was pretty great. Yeah.
So like, was that the first time that you were auditioning actor, like part of that whole process mm-hmm. more so like yes. seeing,
yep.
did you, because you didn't really come from communications mm-hmm. or broadcasting.
Yeah.
That's different than like acting.
Oh, very different. Yeah.
So how did you just kind of through that process, like learn what was good, what wasn't good? Like, does that make sense? Like,
yes. I look back and I'm like, oh gosh, they probably thought I had the worst taste ever because you think these people are good. And then later, like, oh, you just don't know until, you know, it's that whole 10,000 hours thing. You
know? I'm sure.
So you just learn. You learn. But it was, looking back, a little rough.
But I'm also like, I would imagine too that with network stuff, it's also much. Like there's a tone to the shows, right? Mm-hmm. So like what works. So I'm sure there's also a lot of people that maybe like aren't good, but they're like, wow. But also like, it's almost like you're also then casting for like what that the vibe of that show is, which I'm sure takes a little bit of time too.
Yeah. I mean, Brothers and Sisters was so great. Like what a great first show because the writing was phenomenal and the actors, I mean, it was just a big family. It was so wonderful. That I feel very lucky to have been my first show versus I don't want to say something because then I don't want to put anyone else down, but you know, something else that I didn't enjoy.
Totally. Totally.
Versus the Untitled project.
That was not your favorite.
No, I totally get that. And that's a cool entrance into, I'm talking about hitting the ground running. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's an awesome opportunity to really get your feet wet. And at this point, are you an independent casting at this point?
Yeah.
So you've been brought on for your services. Are you also looking for other work or is this your main focus at this point?
Not looking for other work.
Yeah.
You mean outside of casting?
No. Looking for other casting work.
Oh, you're always sort of open. Yeah. You know what I mean? I take on everything. So yeah, I'm always looking, I guess.
I love it.
That's great though.
Is it kind of like being a doctor and you set up your own firm and is it kind of like that? Like,
no,
you're like, absolutely not. It's nothing like that. That's actually
really not.
You don't have like, you know, your own staff or whatever.
I mean, it just depends on what you're working on. So sometimes yes, you do. I have an assistant I've been working with for several years and she's great. So she just is so laid back and cool. And she comes on for, you know, projects and then leaves and comes back and
cool.
I'm lucky that I have her because she does stand-in work, so she's just can book out and then come work with me. So most people, you know, once they get a job, they need a full-time job, so they can't just be waiting for you to call them, you know.
You're like, actually I've been working this job, so I'm not available anymore.
So I've been really lucky, but it's fun, you know. It's every project is different. And no, it's not like a doctor's office.
I totally get that.
You don't have over. So you just basically travel. Like sometimes you'll be like a different. Do you have like a standing office based off of where the shows are?
Yeah. So they put you up, right? So every time you're on a project, they're putting you up. So you're all over the place. That's why when actors are like, how do I find you? I'm like, good luck.
I don't know.
By the time you send a postcard, I will be, you know, 3 offices ahead of you. So
you're like, but if you do find me, you're good. I don't know how you found me, but okay.
I love it. So what would you say in terms of how your journey has kind of taken you to where you're at? What would you say the biggest lesson that you, because you said the 10,000 hour things makes a mm-hmm. difference in being able to go, oh, that's how I can make those decisions well.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say that big learn is? Is it just being able to sense somebody, or is it something you're looking for?
Honestly, I think it's, you on my side of it, I think it's just experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, just having seen so many different actors in so many different roles, and then you just start to figure out, oh yeah, that works and that doesn't.
Do you feel like, did you, when you, are you much more comfortable now? I'm sure you are, after all the time that you're doing it, but in the beginning, like directing actors, like having to redirect, like you, like finding the words to be able to like articulate yourself in a way.
100%.
Yes. Yes. I remember kind of transitioning from assistant to associate. Uh-huh. And that's like where you get to audition actors by yourself. Right.
Ooh, yeah.
Doing the pre-reads. And I remember being like nervous, like, okay, I got to get everything set up before I come in, and just like, got to be confident and, so silly, but yes.
But that's so interesting too, though, because when we as actors sometimes come in and we're like, oh my God, I just want to get this right. Yeah. I just want them to like me, just, or whatever. You know, sometimes you get that like nervous energy. But then on the other side, what we're learning is with like so many people, like we've interviewed producers, we've interviewed writers, everybody's kind of, you know, even acting coach, like everybody's kind of trying to do their own hustle and trying to, like, figure out their shit and basically, like, get hired for the next job and do their job.
We're all human, right? So we're all just trying to make it work.
Yeah. Which is such a, it's a is that the right word? Demystifying, like, process of, because I think that it's one of those things when you're kind of from the outside looking in, so many times it could be intimidating.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Preston just got wrapped up a workshop that he did over the weekend, or like 2 weeks ago. And it was interesting with some of the stuff that he had learned, which was kind of like, he kind of walked away from that kind of thinking like, it was so cool to see how much he wanted everybody to be good and do well versus like, everybody's against, you know what I mean? Just having that like.
Yeah, there's this, I'm sure you've heard it, but there's this weird sensibility that comes over actors where they feel like they're, talent is being judged, not are they right for the role. So often you struggle with, if you're not picked, quote unquote, then you feel this, oh, am I inadequacy, not good enough?
Yeah.
Which is not the case, because I mean, you know better than I, but the goal is to find just the right person / actor for that role. It's a very specific thing that often doesn't have anything to do with the talent
portion.
Well, there
are so many elements involved in why somebody gets the part.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, more experienced actors have figured that out. Not that it makes it easier every time, but they can at least realize that, you know, it wasn't something they did wrong.
Right. And that's the most freeing thing, is whenever you can walk into the audition, walk out, and just, I did the work. I put in the work. I gave them what I bring to the table. And just leave it at that. Yeah. And if it's right, awesome. Mm-hmm. If it's not, on to the next.
Yeah, and just putting it in the universe. You know, as long as you were prepared and you gave it your best, and, you know.
That's awesome. That's such a great, one of the things that we hope, like, for our listeners to kind of, like, as we interview different people and their journeys, because with show business, it's a business. So, like, you have your business. You have your business that's, you know, you're an independent casting director, and you have to do things for your business to be able to get the next job and the next job and the next job and do your job well. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, and as actors, it's like, okay, like, figure out how to do your job well and then just do it. But just know that everybody's kind of doing the same thing. And it's just such an interesting dynamic how it all kind of plays together. Cause it's like, I don't know that I necessarily always call it like a well-tuned machine. Cause there's always like things that just sometimes don't make sense. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you just kind of got to stay in your lane and just kind of focus on what you can control.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you can get out of the mind game arena, that's when you can really start to do the work, you know, and have fun doing it. Otherwise, you're just torture, you know, leaving an audition, sitting in your car, being like, I did it wrong. Or maybe the early days of casting, you know, alone for the first time, going, did I do it right? Did I say everything okay?
Yeah.
Did they hate me? It's such a weird thing where you have to find, we talk a lot about how it being in the entertainment industry in all facets is such a personal journey as well.
Right.
So it's the professional thing, but it's also, you have to be able to work on yourself and get yourself ready for the gauntlet, which is every job that ends means you're unemployed again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Gotta start over.
And it's such a weird thing. It's like, you know, I try to, friends that are not in the industry, I try to relate it like this. You know, imagine if you worked really hard and you interviewed to, let's say you're a lawyer and you passed the bar and you're trying to get a part of that firm. And imagine you worked really hard, you get an interview, you got a second interview, and then you went to producers. And then you get that job and it lasts for a week. It lasts for 3 months.
Right.
And then they're like, all right, on to the next. Now you got to go back through that entire journey.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
Not complaining, but that is such an interesting, different piece of
this. You're always fighting for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I always tell actors there are so many parallels from casting to acting, because we're also, you know, interviewing, if you will, with directors, producers, you know.
Yeah.
Once you get to know people, then they're just calling and offering you the jobs, just like actors. But for the most part, when you're growing and starting out, and I mean, your whole time, you know, you're having to meet with the producers to get
the job.
Yeah.
You know, even the best of the best are still meeting producers.
And what is that process? Like, is it like you have to, like what is that process?
So typically, like for television, a lot of times the studio will call and say, hey, there's this pilot, it's these producers, this director, it's about, you know, XYZ.
Right.
Do you want to read it? Can you meet tomorrow or the next day? It's usually very fast. And they're usually meeting a few different casting directors, so it's not just you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are expected to put together lists of actors of who you think would be right in those roles. And then you go in and, you know, it's a bit of a personality contest. And then also sharing your ideas and your thoughts about, you know, who would fit best in those roles and why.
Interesting. Wow. Is there any of like feedback, not feedback, but kind of like talking about the script and kind of like what you see, or it's not so much about that, it's more just about the actual casting and like the roles of like the actors?
Mostly just casting. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you'll talk about the story, but they know that's not
really
what they're hiring you for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So it's like you're almost being, I don't like using the word judge because it's really not that. It's like also
we're auditioning.
You're auditioning with your
that's so crazy.
Roster, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. your relationships, the people that you've seen that can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so interesting that happens before, it sounds like you said before you even got the job.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is like,
that's kind of like what they base people. On what, how they, if they feel like they want to hire you or not, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So you're meeting and a couple other casting directors are meeting too. So they can't pick all of you.
Wow.
You know?
What, so actors, you know, if you're good, you get, you know, 10% of the roles that you go out for. And that's good. You know what I mean? So in terms of casting, what does that look like? How many jobs are you up for?
Mm-hmm.
And what do the numbers kind of look like generally? Mm-hmm. I know it varies from people.
I mean, I'd say
people.
A lot higher than that because they're not meeting 100 casting directors, they're only meeting 3, you know what I mean, or 4.
Yeah.
So the numbers are going to be a lot higher.
That's great. The probability is just greater.
Yeah. What would you say the most important relationship a casting director needs to build is?
With themselves. You know, I have always believed in authenticity and transparency, so I've never been much of a networker, if you will. I just I just don't like anything to feel forced ever. Mm-hmm. So when things come my way, great, and if they don't, I'm okay with that too, because the path is going to be what it is.
That's awesome.
I just really try to trust the journey and be happy with what I have in the moment and know that great things are ahead.
Were you always like that?
Yeah, I've always been a pretty, you know, make lemonade with my lemons kind of person.
I love it.
Yeah, just, you know, things that I can't control.
Uh-huh.
I really try to let go and just, you know, be present, if you will. But the things that I can control, now that's a different story.
Right.
I like to control them.
Well, yeah. But that's so great. I think that's one of the things we've talked about a lot, too. Just authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, It's like you can get lost if you're in that, like, if you're in, looking through things through the lens of, like, what do they want and how can I be that? You kind of lose a little bit of your authentic self.
Right. You know, actors always ask me, so what do you look for in the room? You know, what stands out in the room? And truly, other than, you know, preparedness and confidence, is authenticity. Just, you know, being yourself and not overthinking it.
It's so true.
That's awesome.
You know, going back to that, that it being a mind game, if you can get that out of your way, then the work is figuring out what you see in the piece. You know what I mean? Yeah. You as an actor, it's like, and being in touch with what's authentic to you and how you would bring that character to life, not what you think someone wants to see or,
right.
Or you see someone in the waiting room and you're like, oh, I didn't wear a hat. Should I have worn a hat? You know what I mean? It's like,
I have hats in my trunk. I'll be right back.
Hey, can I run to my trunk? I got a couple of hats. And it's like, you gotta, what are those things for racehorses? You gotta
blinders.
Put the blinders on.
Yeah.
And you just gotta do the work and you gotta set everything aside. Is that a similar thing for casting directors? Do you find yourself kind of looking around and seeing what other offices are doing or people are doing? And
I guess a little, but we're not really in the know unless you're searching it out.
Yeah.
I don't know what other people are doing, you know, unless I am watching something and I'm like, wow, that's a phenomenal cast. And then I'll look up, oh, wow, they did a great job, you know?
That's great.
But other than that, it's not so much like that, at least for me.
What are some of the biggest tools that you use in terms of building that roster, that list of actors that, hey, I can bring them in? Is it just, you know, the online platforms or is it, what kind of tools do you use or at your disposal at least?
To bring actors in?
Yeah, like, or to find new actors or, you know, kind of building that roster piece.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go to theater and stuff and teach classes here and there. And, you know, a lot of times if I'm auditioning for one project and they're not right, I'm always thinking of them for a future project or, hey, they're not really right for this, but gosh, they'd be great in that other role for this film I'm casting.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I find the new, you know, I do find that every time I release a breakdown, there's amazingly hundreds, if not thousands of new actors I've never seen before that get submitted. So there's always fresh faces, which is really nice because you don't want to just cast the same people over and over. That gets a little tired.
Yeah. And a lot of that, is that through the rep, like just through reps and stuff and agents and managers and like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're calling to pitch. I just saw someone, you know, I haven't signed them yet, but they're so great and blah, blah, blah. So can I send their, you know, the self tape they did over, or, you know, will you pre-read them and trust me? And then you know, get to discover somebody.
Would you say there's a difficult relationship that often comes up? Is there like if you hear the word manager or agent, is there like sometimes those conversations are hard?
Yes and no. You know, at this point you've talked to all of them, right?
Yeah.
So you have some that are your favorites and some maybe not so much.
That's your favorite. That's with anything.
Yeah, totally.
That's with anything. Yeah. That's what I always try to like look at. It's like even for actors, it's like I think, you know, if you're not working a ton or as consistently as some other people might, I think there's always this like romanticizing of like, listen, we should all be thankful for the jobs, right? But I think it's like any other job where it's like there's going to be like sets and roles that might not be like the best experience or whatever. Right. And there's going to be like, if you were a dentist, like you might have that patient that's like a pain in the ass that comes in and then you're like, oh girl, she's coming in today or whatever. But then there's others that are just like, awesome. So I would imagine there's the, like all kind of those same nuances.
Definitely. I have so many stories. I have my hair cutter, the person who cuts my hair, she has so many funny stories.
I bet.
Of people who come in and she's like, oh no. You know, the talker or the, the one who doesn't ever wash their hair, you know, it's stuff
that's
that is hard.
That's me. Just kidding. That's the worst.
Yeah. I love that. Now, there's some myths that go around in the actor world. We're all very like conspiracy, you know what I mean? And someone had talked about this the other day. I thought it was great to ask since we have you. There's this crazy, like, weird two sides to social media and its play in casting. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Is it a necessary thing?
So there's a lot of different places that people fall. I tend to fall on the, if you're talented, it doesn't really matter unless you're looking at like a smaller budget thing that needs your
right.
exposure. But mm-hmm. that's just what we have talked about and kind of come up with. But I wanted to hear from you. What do you think about the whole social media thing? And does it matter? Is it a big deal? Are people casting it?
I personally haven't really worked with anybody that has even brought it up.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you know, yeah. I think pretty much everyone I've worked with has only cared about the talent.
Awesome.
I get the question all the time from actors, so obviously somebody cares, right?
Right.
I don't know who that is.
You're like, I have not come across those people, but clearly.
It could just be coming from actors.
Yeah. You know? I mean, we all know you can buy followers, and we've all heard that the followers doesn't transfer to money because right. they can watch them for free on their phone. So why would they spend $20 to go see them in a theater or whatever?
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
So I just, you know, of course it's a great way to promote yourself.
Yeah.
I know I did do a film, recently that was for a studio, and they did have sort of a clause in there that, you know, the leads need to post X amount of times about, you know,
yeah.
just to promote it. So that is helpful. But as far as the amount of followers and things, I just don't think in the acting world it really matters.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of, not that honestly, kind of don't care. Like I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, okay, you can just look at pictures of my baby all day long. but it's just I kind of am like, to a point, like unless you are trying to be an influencer,
right?
Which I think is different. And I think I've always kind of looked at it like that. I've never really asked, but in my mind, I'm kind of like, I've been following the careers of XYZ, these people that were either on Vine or like Instagram or whatever. And then it's like, but are they doing the roles and the parts now that I want to be doing? And yeah. A lot of the times that's not the case.
Yeah.
So it's like you can,
they're making money promoting things
for sure.
It has nothing to do with acting.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like commercials.
Yeah.
It's like your own ad agency mm-hmm. at that totally. Point. You know, which is cool if you can make money that way. But
yeah, knock yourself out. I mean, I just don't have the energy for that.
Oh God, no.
I'm like, I think I like, try. It's just, I just don't, nor do I care. And I don't care enough. So that's kind of good to
swipe
know.
Up. I'm like, so swipe up and follow Nod for all the exciting.
Hey, listen, you can listen to my stories about me and my son and whatever other crap I got going on for the day, but I don't care.
And I don't want to be forced to be interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's like, how can I be interesting today? I don't know. I'm not trying to like have a blog. It's fine.
It just goes back to that authenticity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so true. And, you know, I was thinking as we were just talking about social media, it's kind of random, but I was like, there's such a beautiful thing that it can be sometimes in the audition room. Like, because it is such a weird place, and it's so, like, sometimes it's not always set up to be, like, obviously it's not the scene that you're going to be in.
Right.
You know, so there's a whole lot of, you know, change there. But sometimes it can be such a cool, like, moment in time to share that experience with other people in the room, people you've never met sometimes, mm-hmm. and to be vulnerable at that moment. Is there any... obviously without sharing anything that you can't share, but is there any memory that you have of an experience casting a particular project that you're like, oh, that day was amazing, or that moment was amazing? And do you find yourself chasing that?
It is. When you've been reading and then it's so obvious to everyone in the room that, ah, oh, this is it. You know, they leave and you all just look at each other like, finally.
Wow.
I think my first experience with that was on Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah.
And again, you know, green assistant here running the camera, and Matthew Reese came in.
Wow.
And he's obviously, you know, from the Americans and doing so much. He came in and we were replacing an actor. So we had shot the pilot And actually, Sally Field wasn't even in the original pilot.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And his character, he wasn't in that pilot either. So they reshot, and him and Sally and then a couple of the kids were new. Mm-hmm. And he came in and just blew everyone away. Just his talent. I mean, it was so natural and good and just incredible. So that was like the first moment I got to experience that. And there have been several since over the years, but it is that aha moment of like, oh yes, this is exactly what we've been looking for.
That's so cool. I would imagine it, you know, we do our own stuff, and so we've casted our own stuff, mm-hmm. but obviously not at the level that you're at. But the thing that I find is it can be really draining to yes. sit through the same thing.
Yes.
And in my audition today, I had to do a Backstreet Boys song. I had to sing that. And nice. I thought to myself, I was like, all day.
Yeah.
Back to back to back. Where does the stamina come from?
Right. You know, when you have good material, it's so fun.
Yeah.
And when
but when you don't.
Oh, it's so daunting. And like you said, draining when it's material that's, say, you know, something really dark,
yeah.
that can be it. By the end of the day, you really feel like it's sucked out of you. Or when you're casting a comedy that isn't funny.
Oh, no.
That's the worst because, you know, and then the producers keep saying, they're not funny.
Shitty
like,
no, funny.
The material isn't you're funny. Like,
yep.
But you somehow find actors that make it funny.
Wow.
Maybe they're just funny, right?
Right. But I had a session once and my camera op fell out at the last minute. So I had my husband come to session.
Awesome.
He has nothing to do with the industry. So it was hilarious. So he's running the camera and, you know, about, I don't know, an hour in or something. He's like, your job is so fun. This is so awesome. This is so fun. 4 hours later, he's like, that is the most draining job I have ever experienced.
He's like, I need a drink after this. Can we get a margarita after this?
He said, because he said, it's like every actor comes in and they want it so bad.
Yeah.
So they're sort of unconsciously, energetically dumping on you.
Right.
And you get, you know, if you see 60 people in a day, that's each person dumping.
Right.
And you really, by the end of the day, just feel it.
You know what's fascinating is that your husband, who's not in the industry and was there for, what, the 4 hours or whatever it was, could pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like, I don't think that sometimes you realize, like, that, for lack of that vibe or energy mm-hmm. that you're giving off because you're coming in like... Right? So it's like, oh my gosh, like what's happening? And it's like, hi guys, like me, please.
And it's almost a kind of energy that almost requires like, or not requires, but it almost makes you feel like you have to give it back sometimes.
Yeah.
Where like, so if someone's like overly energetic, it's like you almost feel yourself getting that, no, yeah, it's good
right,
to see. And,
right.
And I can imagine just that forceful energy is kind of, extremely crazy. You know, us as actors, we only have to go through that while we're in the audition room. So we don't see the hundred of us
right.
coming through.
But it is really fun. And you know, a big part of what I love about it is just meeting so many different people.
Yeah.
So you meet so many cool people. I mean, a lot of my friends are actors that I've met, maybe not in the room per se, but just, mm-hmm. you know, around. And you just meet, there's good people, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It's like... They're not all crazy, of course.
I hope not. Just kidding.
You know, you always hear those exceptions, and,
yeah.
and they're just, they're, that's what they are, exceptions. But they're, for the most part, you know, you just see a lot of good actors that aren't right for the role.
Yeah.
In the end, you know, at the end of the day. But you meet a lot of good people, and it's just a really fun job because there's no monotony, right?
Yeah.
So it's different every single day, and it's creative, and it's all subjective, and... It's, you know, can be very stressful, but really fun at the same time.
Do you think some of what gets you hired for roles and other casting directors is your sensibility? Do you think there's a bit of like, kind of like how we were talking, an actor brings a piece of themselves.
Mm-hmm, sure.
How would that look like on your side?
You know, I think because I am passionate about it and I do bring a positivity that is sincere, that they can see that and want to work with me because I'll be fun. Right. You know, yeah, I'm not going to be a downer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, a lot of it is like a personality, like I said, a personality contest when you're getting those jobs. And sometimes you don't get it, and it's okay, because the jobs that you don't get, you kind of oddly, you leave going, I don't really care if I get that. And then you don't.
Yeah.
You know, but the ones where you really like, that'll be really fun, I'd love to work with those producers, then you get it because it was, you know, it was a match.
That's awesome.
Do you find that usually it's the script that wins you, or the, you had mentioned, oh, those producers would be cool. Do you find like it's generally more often than not either the people that you want to work with or the content?
It's both. I mean, preferably content.
Yeah.
Because I have worked on things that I didn't love, but I loved the people behind it, so yeah. I do it because I love them, but you know, that wouldn't be my favorite stuff to cast always. But then sometimes you come across a script that's so good, and you know, maybe you don't want to work with the producers, but you do because the script's so good.
Do you have a preference over, I mean, I'm sure it just varies anyway, but TV or film?
Oh yeah,
I get that question a lot, and the truth is I like both. They're very different, yet very similar. You know, with TV, it's great because you know how long you have a job, you have a set income for a set amount of time, and you just, you know what you're getting yourself into. It's going to be a lot of work and long hours, and, you know, you get to work on something cool. And it, my sort of type A personality likes it because, okay, you've done with that episode, and you can take that page out, and it's done. You don't ever have to look back.
Yeah.
Now you work on the next episode. Film lingers, especially independent film.
Yeah.
It can take a long time to get independent films made. And so you're in it. You're almost like one of the producers with them because you're in it from the ground up. And a lot of times it's attaching names. And so it just takes a long time. And there's so many elements and,
there's like budget and like what kind of budget are we talking, and then you're trying
And you know, I feel like it used to be more fun where it was like, hey, we have this amount of money, let's cast this movie with the best actors possible, and then you make the movie and it's great. Now it's, who's the biggest name I can get for this amount of money? And because all they want to do is sell their film, and they want to make sure that they make their money back, and it's just the creative aspect has really kind of gotten lost, I think, which makes it not that fun for us, because every time you are working with a budget, they want the next tier that they can't get. It's always the tier that they're just out of reach, so you're never working in reality.
Right. You're like, this is what you want on like a Taco Bell, maybe not like budget, but like maybe not that low,
Yeah. So, you know, then you're always just kind of reaching for the stars. And then at one point they get down to reality where it's like, oh yeah, so that level of actor is not going to do that for this amount of money. So let's now look a little more in the next tier.
Let's look at our price range.
Right.
One of my favorite quotes from Spielberg, actually, is he said one of the only films that almost bankrupted his company was whenever he was given unlimited budget.
Oh, wow.
So he had made a couple of his films, and E.T. was out and all that. And so he was given whatever you want to make your next film. And so he found through that experience, one, he went to places that he was like, it'd be cool to shoot here. Well, the weather was terrible, right? They didn't have the infrastructure for filmmaking. All these things that he didn't think about ended up costing 3 times, 4 times what he thought. And it was this runaway train. Luckily, he was able to sell it for what it cost. So he's able to break even, but it was very close to not being that.
Right.
And he learned, he was like, you know, the best thing in the world to be creative is to have limitations.
Right.
So, you know, you're making that film, and let's say you don't have a huge budget. How can you be creative? And I think it goes back to what you're saying. Cast who's available in that price range with the best talent.
Right.
And then if you have a piece of art that is unique and well done, it will hopefully rise to the top.
Right.
But I think there's this kind of fear of, you know, taking that risk.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is you can't, I mean, you know, like the big festivals, you really can't even get in without a big name attached and things like that. So it's just been this snowball effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this
the business.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The business side is, yeah, has probably changed some of the things, because then things are, people definitely want to see their return on their money. So yeah, that's kind of like, maybe right, things are more formulaic.
The amount of times I've heard, you know, I've thrown ideas out and they say that person's so great, but they don't have value.
Interesting.
Over and over again, I hear that.
How is that equated, value?
A lot of it, you know, I mean, I'm not a producer, so that would come from like a, you know, producer or distribution,
yeah,
expert, but a lot of it is, you know, their theatrical value. So a lot of television stars, for instance, you'd think, oh yeah, someone from the Big Bang Theory is going to be worth a lot of money because look at how, at the famous, you, yeah, know, doesn't transfer over internationally. Mm. So especially comedy, because, you know, in America, comedy is one thing and it doesn't, that type of comedy doesn't transfer over. So then that, those shows aren't even aired in a lot of places. Yeah. So they, yeah, don't know who they are. So they don't have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I didn't even think about it like that. I just didn't even think of sensibilities. Like in some countries, like it wouldn't transfer. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
A producer friend of mine who does a lot of, independent films, mm-hmm, showed me a program that he uses.
Oh, interesting.
So literally you can type in people's names and then it gives them like dollar values.
No way.
It's this crazy spreadsheet. I found it very, I was like, oh gosh.
you know? Yeah, $0. Just kidding. We ain't there yet, y'all.
Hey, not even found in the system.
Who is like red? Is like in deficit.
It's like, how do I spell Preston again? I'm like, don't, aww, worry about it. No. I was like, so valuable. But
of course.
I found it so interesting.
I have a podcast. Come on.
Haven't you heard of it? But it's such an interesting thing that there is that piece of it. And I think, you know, us as actors, we can sometimes, in our community, can sometimes get depressed by that, mm-hmm, because it often feels like the catch 22. It feels like, okay, well, I can't get that role even if I have the ability to bring something to it until my name has that, right, value.
Right.
And I think separating yourself from, you are valuable because you're a person,
right,
and how much you can make someone physically proven because you've done it before is such a different thing. And I think, yeah, if we can kind of create that house around us that protects the emotional, you know, child within,
right,
that's looking for approval and stuff like that, and say, well, actually, no, I wouldn't be able to bring that project that value yet.
Right.
What can I do? What project can I do to leverage to that next level?
Right. And well, that's the thing. The people who have value didn't always have value.
Right.
So they started somewhere as, yeah, well.
It's so true. So true. So take me through the journey of, you get hired on an independent project that, let's say, doesn't have funding yet or has some funding and is trying to get the wheels up. Mm-hmm. You said sometimes you're with them from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So do you often cast someone? And, you know, what does that look like if the shoot date is not set and, mm-hmm, some other details aren't, mm-hmm, figured out? How does that look?
So I typically try not to take any jobs that the funding is not in place, because it's, you know, their thought is, well, we just attach somebody and then we have the money. But if that was the case, then everybody would be making movies.
Right.
That's not the only thing. Yes. It's like, come on now.
So, a wise casting director recently told me, you know, if they can't come up with the money for pre-production or to hire a casting director or to pay the said actor that they're trying to attach, how are they going to come up with the rest of the money?
Right.
So,
yeah,
don't do it. But if it's a case where it's partially financed and they have investors interested, uh-huh, you know, they just need XYZ into place, then, you know, I might come on, and if I love the script, and, you know, there's so many different aspects of why I'll take a job or won't. But,
yeah.
So let's say that it's something's partially funded and they want to attach a name to, you know, complete the funding. Then you would, you know, just, starts with lists, and then you narrow down the list, and I like to have a batting order. So here's our, you know, top five, and you just start making the offers, and when you get a pass, you make the next offer. And then I think, you know, a couple of those passes, because they always want right, bigger than they're going to get, then they kind of come down to reality a little bit. Like, okay, let's look at the next tier. Still, you know, big names, but not as big. And then you know, somebody will fall in love with the material. And it's always attaching that first name that's really hard. Because once you have one name or just one actor in general attached, everyone else knows the project is real, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be the first one because it's too risky.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of you're committing to things that
You don't know who you're going to be playing against, and a lot of
interesting,
right, especially when you're dealing with names, because they want to know, well, who else am I working with? Am I going to be the only name in your whole movie? I don't want to do that. You know. So that's kind of where it starts.
And is there a story you still haven't been able to tell yet that you want to tell?
What do you mean?
Yeah. What do you mean?
So it's all a puzzle piece, right? Every job fits in its own way to ultimately tell stories, to ultimately entertain, educate, inspire, lift people out of, you know, their experience for a minute. Is there any story that you yourself are like, I just love that? Like, for me, I'll give you an example. I love comedy with heart. I love watching something that'll make you laugh, but then it'll make you feel and kind of teach you something about what it's like to be good to one another and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Is there any like story like that, or like overcoming, or something that you tend to, I just love those stories.
I love coming of age movies.
Yeah.
And television, but mostly film. And I love to watch it. I would love to cast any coming of age story if it's good. I watched 16 Candles the other day for the 7,000th time. It's so my all time favorite movie. And one of my best friends had never seen it. So I sat him down and said, you're not leaving until you watch
this movie.
And he said, I mean, he laughed the whole time. Yeah, it stands the test of time. And I got to thinking, if they do a remake, a reboot, a TV show, anything to do with this, I will fall over my face to cast
that.
That's awesome. Does it change the way you watch stuff?
100%.
Yeah.
How can it not? I feel like everybody that's in the industry.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, most of the time you know every actor, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's so
interesting. I just saw that person. Oh, I just auditioned them. Oh, I just cast them. Oh yeah, he's, you know, just, so you're always thinking of work. And then also, if you don't know someone and they're good, you're on your IMDb. Like, who is that? Where'd they come from? Oh my gosh, I need to see
who's
them.
Who's the rep, right?
Yeah. So it makes it annoying and also fun at the same time, but
yeah,
mostly annoying because of that.
What's happening over here?
And you're missing the plot.
Yeah.
Wait, is that IMDb meter? Is that ever used by you guys?
No, don't pay attention to that. It's silly.
Isn't that so funny?
It's like social media. Just don't. Focus on the real stuff.
Focus on the work. It's so easy to get distracted in marketing yourself, but it's like, why don't you build something to market, you know?
Exactly.
When you teach classes, are they independent classes that you just throw up, or do you like go to like places to teach them?
I don't do them as much anymore because I'm so busy.
Hey, that's a good problem.
Yeah. But, you know, it's long hours. So just trying to get out by like 7:30 or whenever, you know, like even for this, I'm out the door and then a producer calls, can we make an offer to so-and-so? I'm like, oh, I'm trying to leave, you know? So, you know, unless they start at 11 p.m. and then of course you just want to go to sleep.
Of course, because you got to be up early the next day for a long day.
Mostly someone else will ask me to be a guest. I won't put them on myself.
That's great. And when you do that, I'm sure you get a mixture of represented actors, unrepresented actors. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get that question of like, what do you do? Like, if you don't have an agent, like, what do you, I mean, I know it might be different for a casting director to like, maybe like comment on that. Like, cause as far as like what your job is, I'm sure with a lot of the breakdowns that you, for the projects that you cast, you're not like,
not releasing it to just to actors.
Yes. It's reps. So, is it kind of like one of those things where it's like,
they just have to hustle, but you know, there's classes out there that are geared towards agents and managers. There are blind emails, blind mailers. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've turned over an actor's resume and said, oh, how did you get with so-and-so, with your manager? Oh, I just blind submitted. Yeah. I hear it all the time. So it must work.
Yeah.
And I think it's a numbers game. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of managers now and agents, but mostly managers. And so someone out there is looking for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's that thing where it's like, you know, you can get caught up. And one of the things that we're like at this point now, just even with technology and whatever you got going on, it's like, hey, like if you don't have like a ton of TV credits or like legit, however mm-hmm. you want to call them, credits, mm-hmm. like shoot something, like do something, like create something, even if it's just to have to the agents or the managers, maybe more so managers, to kind of be like, hey, so I shot this thing. I do comedy. This is what I do. Even if it's just to have some kind of a tape or something on yourself, do you think that that's like
valuable?
That's valuable, or
I have to be honest, I usually tell people not to do that, not to, you know, the places where you go and you there's a scene and they give you a partner and you know, yes. not to do something like that because it doesn't feel what
authentic,
right?
Yes.
So I think that just doing an actual self tape,
yeah,
of a, you know, one comedy, one drama, you know, a couple of scenes that really resonate with you where you feel like, wow, I really nailed that audition. And you have that to submit to managers and agents to show your work. And then they have that to submit to us like, hey, I just signed this person. They're new on the scene. They haven't, you know, done anything yet, but look at this awesome self-tape they just put up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it all happens all the time and it's effective.
I That's love so that. Great.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, I you know, there's kind of, I saw a lot of those reels mm-hmm. where it's just like the shoulder of somebody and then yeah. like the police light. And
I
then-
just think, you know, as actors, you spend so much money and time on right. your career and you don't know what's ahead, right? So if you think of things that can just save yourself time and money, just do it, you know? Otherwise, you're going to be broke and you have nothing. You know,
right?
Yeah,
there are things that are worth it. Like, obviously, you need to be paying for Actors Access if you yeah. are an actor,
right?
You know, things like that. The commercial, what's the LA casting?
LA casting.
Yeah, you yeah. need to be on LA casting. But other things that, you know, are always being promoted, and you know, you're paying a few bucks a month for this and a few bucks for, and all of a sudden
it adds
you're
paying, up, man.
You know, $1,000 yeah. a month, and you didn't make one job that month, you know. So just kind of putting your money in smart places until you have more money to be able to, you know, put it elsewhere.
I love that.
Same with time is money, so you know,
yeah.
It's so easy to get caught up in what we think we should be doing
yeah.
as actors, that we, like what you're saying, you're putting your money and resources into something that's not necessarily going to have the return.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's what producers are doing when they're asking for names of value, right?
Right.
They're looking at something that's going to bring them
right.
And I the think highest return.
Sorry to interrupt. I think a lot of actors get bad advice along the way.
Yeah.
And conflicting advice, right? So everything we talked about, someone is going to say that it's
the opposite.
Not. Yeah, and that's okay because not all of us work the same, right? So that's the thing. You have to take it with a grain of salt. And I just tell actors, just trust your instincts. What is working for you might not be working for the person next to you, and that's okay. You know, totally. There is a whole ocean of resources and things out there. So, you know, if you get advice from 50 people, and then take what works for you and what resonates instead of getting advice from two people and they conflict and, oh, forget it, I'll just throw my hands in the air, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because, you know, you have these, you know, I have a lot of different set of actors, like people in the comedy world, people that are like have been working for a long time, people that are kind of working, people yeah. that don't work. And it's like, you know, you see a range. Mm-hmm. You see people who are creating their own content. They like to write. They do sketch. They do mm-hmm. sketch comedy. So they're creating characters. And, you know, that's kind of opened up a platform for them in a way that, you know, even with like Issa Rae and stuff when she was doing mm-hmm. Awkward Black Girl. And, you know, there's not a ton of her. But it's like, you know, it's also like, but I think it's like, we had a guest once that kind of talked about like, as an actor, when you're doing things, it's like, if you focus too much on the outcome and it's not something mm-hmm. that you're authentic, kind of what you're saying, if it's not something that... it's a story that you feel like you need to tell, because at some point, if you're not even auditioning and you feel like you have, write a short and shoot it and do it, if that's something that you feel like you yeah. need to tell, right?
And if you're having fun doing yeah. those things, it's like, it's work, but it's fun. I mean, actors love to act, right? So yeah, just to be doing it and keeping the momentum going in yeah. the right direction so that you're always, you know, being productive, but not being, you know, not just being busy, but yeah. also being productive.
That brings up two questions that kind of come to mind in that area that I think actors often struggle to find the right answer to. And mm-hmm. some of that is to get the exposure that it's needed to be considered for projects for casting directors they've never met, or even agents and managers. There's often a like, well, where do you go do shows? And where, like, what is the best place to study comedy or to study with? And do you have any like favorites, like for actors in LA that are listening to this and they're like, how can I get in front of someone and to show what I do? Mm-hmm. Do you have like favorite places that you would recommend?
I do, but honestly, I don't want to say, because I think those sort of questions get answered more effectively by asking other actors, because they are in the class doing them.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
So I think that, acting classes and different improv groups. And I mean, we all know the big ones, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I used to refer people to an acting teacher, and a lot of people don't like that acting teacher because yeah. it's a different, you know, like when we met at Stan's yeah. so great, and he's so coddling and so sweet and genuine, but not everybody would want that, because some people like the tough love, right?
Yeah.
Some people cannot handle the tough love.
Right.
So I cannot.
I cannot.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, just tell me how great I am. So, you know, to each their own, and that's what's so beautiful, that there are so many different places to go and some little something for everybody.
And I will say to that, to kind of, I would say yes. I love the answer for that, because I think when I first started out, you know, there were these books and stuff that you would read that somebody said, this is where you need to go take mm-hmm. class. And as an actor, a lot of times you get sold. And again, I'm not saying that these classes weren't well, but then right. sometimes when you're newer and you're a little inadequate, or you're not super confident, and you're trying to do things right, mm-hmm. you can ignore a lot of like red flags, like from being at these names that you think need to be on your resume,
right.
and then you're either wasting your money and or your time. And honestly, unfortunately, I feel like I've studied everywhere in LA, and it was a good and bad thing. I feel like I got my master's in like the like acting of LA, right. but I also feel like I stayed at places for a little too long that were
kind of damaging
to like the soul,
right?
A little yeah. bit,
right.
And I thought this is the way it is, and this is the way it needs to be, and if anything, then it put me more in my head.
Right.
And then there was a lot of deprogramming that had to happen.
Right.
At this point, it's like 5 or 6 years later. Meaning,
still have like PTSD.
Yeah, straight up. It was just like you get jaded. And
right.
then, so then it's kind of like you said, I think it's like talking to other actors, like, and also asking like, what is your goal? Like mm-hmm. for me, like when I have friends that are like, well, my agent told me I need to go do Groundlings, or my agent told me I need to do UCB. And it's like, okay, that's fine, but just know that if you take level one, that is not going to make you a good improviser.
Right. Right.
So is your, I mean, I get it. Some people want to see that on their resume, mm-hmm. and I'm never going to say like, go against what your agent's telling you. But at the same time, the reason they want to see that on your resume, especially even for like the commercial world and some comedy stuff, is like, they want to know that you are good with character, or they mm-hmm. want to know that you're funny and you can improvise. That's a skill.
Right.
That takes a long time to develop, and consistent working that muscle. And it's like, I know people that have gone through the four levels at UCB and are still not good improvisers mm-hmm. because they would take a class, and then a year later they would take level two, but they're not doing it in the in-betweens.
Consistently, yeah.
So
yeah.
I always kind of say, like, what is your goal? Like, where are you going to thrive?
And you would be a good resource to an actor that's looking for some advice of where to take an acting class.
Yeah, because I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere. And that brings my second question. Is there any actor don't that you're like, don't be doing this out there? Anything like what are blind submissions to you, or like showing
me
up in offices? Like, what yeah. are some horror stories?
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of random emails, and I'm like, I don't know this person. How do they have my email address?
Yeah.
So, if I didn't give you my email, probably don't email me. But, you know, I get like, someone out there is telling you to do it and you think you're being productive. And so I, you know, I don't hate. I just, someone once sent a box to the office with a shoe, a croc, and it said, just trying to get my foot in the door.
Oh, my
girl,
goodness.
Girl, 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 girl.
Don't do it.
Don't send me a croc, please, unless it's like a Louboutin. Just kidding.
And then send both,
and
please.
And then send both, sure, please. Right, and this size. Is my size. I'm 6.5. Thanks. Okay, bye.
And then thank you for that, but I can't bring you in because that's a bribe.
Right? I just won't bring you in, but thanks for the shoes. Right? Or that.
That's no, you know... there's so many crazy stories. So it, just the obvious.
Don't be crazy.
Yeah, don't be crazy. Just be authentic. A human.
Authentic.
Yeah, I can't really think of any that don't feel so obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Don't be crazy out there, guys. Now, as we're kind of wrapping up our time together, we normally end with a few questions. These are, we call them our icebreakers, but we do it at the end of the conversation.
Oh, okay. Because we do everything backwards.
Yeah. So Nod has a couple of questions for you.
They're just super chill, like no pressure.
And they're quick.
One, if you could be any animal in the world, or any animal, what animal would you be and why?
Probably a cat.
Do you have a cat?
I have two cats.
I have two cats.
I love cats, and you know, it's always on their terms, so.
Of course, right. Isn't that the
way? And they're really soft.
It's like, oh, can you pet me now? No, not right now.
I'll let you know. I'll let you
know. I'll let you know when you can come near me. If there was only one food that you could eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Sushi.
Oh, girl, yes. So do you have a favorite place? Have you ever been to Sushi Yuzu in Toluca Lake?
I love Sushi Yuzu. Don't Do you know started. The sister company?
Kabosa.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All day,
so
yes.
Good.
I'm like,
so
oh, they're booked. Let's go to Kabosa.
Right, right, exactly. Let's That's go. How I discovered it. Yeah. One time I tried to go there, and they're like, oh, our sister company. I'm like, what? How
Basically,
long has this
been is
here?
The same
Excuse
menu.
Me. And
yeah.
they have the baby crispy rice that's not on the menu.
Yes.
It's so good.
They have the four. Oh, girl.
We yeah. might need to do that again soon.
I know, I can have it a little bit. They say, whatever. Okay. If you could have any superpower, we've also added superhero in here, what would it be?
So easy. I have had a superpower that I've wanted since I was a kid, and I talk about it all the time, and my husband, like, I always bring it up, like, see, right now would be the perfect time for the superhero. Do you remember the show Out of This World?
I don't.
Like, from the 80s, probably?
Well, I might have.
So, she basically can put her fingers together, and time stops. Okay? So
is that the one with the little girl that was dressed? Are you talking about that one?
I mean,
with
she
the white
dressed.
Dress. With the, she was dressed. I hope she wasn't naked. Is that the one with the little girl with the red dress with, like, the white... The robot chick? No, it wasn't her. But I remember the one where they did this. I remember. I just,
yeah, so
I think I'm confusing
my time would stop.
Awesome.
And then she could touch someone and they could be in real time with her.
That's cool.
So you could correct a lot of mistakes. Mostly it's about sleeping for me. Like, think right now I could just put my fingers together and take a nap and then come back and.
And be good.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah. I can, my,
it always
my son can
to
take
sleep.
Like a 5 hour nap.
I was about to say, theme. Themes are coming.
There's a theme here. Celebrity crush.
Well, my true love is Ryan Gosling.
Love him.
But maybe Channing Tatum.
Nice. You can say both. That's
yeah,
fine.
Right? And then the last one is, if you were not in this industry, what else could you see yourself doing?
News?
No, not news.
Well, that would be kind of in this industry.
Well, she started in news.
I know.
Didn't like it.
You know, I don't know. I dabbled in looking into advertising, but now I don't think I would like that. It would have to be something creative still.
Yeah.
You know? I always loved writing, but I'm not good at it, so they're probably not that. Something with travel. I don't know. Create a job for me. Go.
Great. You could be you could be like a host of like a travel show where you can just travel and eat and sleep when you want. Just kidding.
Great.
Right?
You can do sleep studies. and participate yourself.
No, no sleep. She would just be doing the sleeping, eating and sleeping. Awesome. That those are the five for me.
I love it. And I always throw in a trick question at the end. It's not a trick. So we have a lot of people who listen who aren't just actors, people who love the industry or they themselves want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there and you are yourself before you became a casting director and you wanted to be a part of it, you wanted to be a casting director, what advice would you give that person or yourself, the first step or the most important thing?
You know, Well, it's funny because my first thought is just goes right to actors. Like I remember talking to my first boss in casting and being like, I can never do what you do. Like, you know, everybody, I don't know any actors. Because I never really watched TV before, which is so funny. I watched a lot of movies, but I didn't really watch TV. And she said, no, you learn. She said, look how many you already know. And it's only been, you know, however long it had been. Yeah. And it's true. You know, you just learn because you're doing it all day, every day. So you learn. But I think that is a lot of the insecurities that assistants, associates have, because I've heard that from others too. And it's like, oh good, I wasn't the only one. So just, you know, if it was specific to being a casting director, I think that's the biggest part. Like you're going to learn, just trust the journey, trust the path that you're going to learn along the way. You're not going to know everything right now. So just baby steps, right?
I love that.
And I had a random question pop up. I meant to ask you earlier.
Yeah.
Do you still get starstruck? Is there anybody that you bring into your office and you're like, oh my god?
It's like weird people. Like 16 Candles. one of the women from that came in and I was like, I love 16 Candles. I love you so much. Oh my god. And she asked me if she could take a selfie with me. And I was like, God, yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like all day, every day, yes, thank you.
But yeah, there are people.
Yeah.
But not as much.
It makes sense that it would be the pivotal ones.
Right.
The
right.
ones that you know, remember where you were when you saw them first.
Yeah.
And I love the theme of this, guys. Be authentic. Ladies,
don't be crazy.
Don't be crazy. Don't be doing weird stuff. Find out what you are after and go chase it. Arlie Day, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your time.
This was fun.
Now, of course, we're going to be...
we're not going to ask you where people can find you because we don't want people stalking you.
Exactly. But you can definitely hop on the IMDb and
see what she's casting and
everything she's casted. And thank you again for your time. It means so much to us.
Thank you.
Nod, we did it.
We did it. Peace.
I loved that convo.
Yeah, it was so great.
It was good. A couple of things that stood out for me was the demystification of the numbers for social media, you know?
Yeah, I think sometimes there's a lot of pressure on it to like have a social media presence. And again, I feel like if that's something that you like want to do, then, you know, knock yourself out.
Right.
But I definitely think that it's just been interesting to... just hear from even, I know we spoke to Arlie about it, and I've also actually read other posts and stuff from other casting directors, and you know, you had done a casting director workshop that somebody there asked that same question, and the consensus kind of seems to be that unless it's like an indie project, which they might want that because they assume the translation. Mama. Yeah.
You'll have to excuse the addition of our little man, Judah. He's with us now, but you
He's
were saying.
He's with us today. He's with us today because Mama and Judah got food poisoning over the weekend, which has not been fun.
Oh, so, man. It's been a rough,
It's been a
weekend.
Little bit of like just trying to get it together. But anyways, I think it's just been interesting in that sense where it's like, you know, for myself, sometimes I just want to get off social media altogether.
Yeah.
But you have this like,
pressure
to feel like you need to be on it. And honestly, if anybody checks out my social media, it's like basically all Judah. So with that sense, it's kind of like even wanting to like, oh my God, we got to post. I don't know. it's just interesting. It was kind of like a breath of fresh air to kind of be like, it doesn't really matter, especially for a lot of the stuff that we're going to be auditioning for.
Right.
So yeah, I mean,
yeah, it gives you freedom. And when you walk into the room, you know, knowing that if they called you into the room, they think you're good enough.
Yeah. And just to do your job. I love, you know, her perspective on, you know, just going in and doing the work and having mm-hmm. that confidence. And again, I think, I don't know. I think if, you know, for our listeners, I know it's like, you might get tired of hearing this, but it's like, be you, like be authentic. Like right. there's just something about that, that I think sounds so simple,
right?
But it's actually not. And I don't know. I mean, I know this is the conversation about like after the episode, but it kind of gets me thinking about like, you know, if we're not practicing authenticity, even in our day-to-day life with like our family and friends, right. like how are you just going to turn it on? Like at an audition?
Yeah, you can't. I don't think.
I don't know. I think it's harder to do that. I think if you're constantly putting up a veil or like, you know, being a chameleon to kind of like be who you think people want you to be instead of like being who you are. Obviously if you're a jackass, don't be a jackass.
Right.
But, you know, nobody's saying that. Cause I think it's hard to spend so much of, you know, it's like if you're, even if you're auditioning a lot, I feel like that's not the majority of your day.
Right.
So if you're not spending the majority of your time being authentic and learning who you are and what makes you authentic and what makes you unique and what gives, you know, what your point of view is and how do you bring that into your work, then you're not just going to be able to do that when you're like given a script and you're given sides to like, you know, bring yourself to, if you don't know who you are.
Right.
I don't know. Anyways, it's just.
No, it's totally accurate. And I'm just so thankful for this conversation. A lot of insight. This is definitely one of those ones that I'm going to have to put on repeat.
Yeah, she was super gracious and super kind to come out and, you know, chat with us and kind of talk about the process and how she got into it. It's always so fascinating how people, you know, she wanted to be like a news person and yeah. like, you know, she hated it. And then she came out to Hollywood and, you know, started doing her thing. And then, you know, it's just like this persistence that you just, I don't know, maybe have to be open to like, you know, doors that are going to open. And
right.
It's kind of interesting how they're all trying to like bid for work too. Obviously, I know that she mentioned that the competition isn't the same because, you know, it might be like 3 to 4 casting directors versus like, you know, 50 right. to 60 people for a role, actors for a role. But at the same time, they have a lot of work to do.
That's right. And Judah thinks they have a lot of work to do too. He wanted to chime in.
He does.
Oh, you want some water?
Awa.
I love it. You guys, this is a rare peek into our life.
This is a rare peek because normally we do this at night, but you know, considering I had food poisoning, all freaking like weekend. Didn't feel good.
Oh, I know you're all done. This is the life. This is the life of parent, you know, actors and creatives. And he's such a cool little kid, and we're so excited that he's hanging out with us now. But sometimes you can't help but be like, just be quiet. But it's like, you know what? This is life. This is how it is, you know? You got Elmo in the background just to try to keep him, you know?
Yeah, we don't do a lot of TV, but, on, you know, he's not, his tummy's not feeling great.
Yeah.
As mine is not either. So it's kind of like, I get it, you know? But, and then we had that panel this weekend that we took him to. So it's just been like a very eventful.
That's right.
Eventful weekend for us with the panel we went to this weekend for your brother and then the Friendsgiving that we had.
Yeah, my brother, Phil Ernest, okay. is directing a documentary called The Pencil Test. Yeah. You can follow him on Instagram and follow their journey. But it's essentially a documentary about the heyday of 2D animation with, you know, Disney animation and, you know, all those movies we grew up with. And they're doing a sneak peek behind what that process was like, what the change in the industry has been like, and where the future of 2D animation is going. So it's a really exciting documentary. And if you're into that stuff, they were a panel at the CTN
Convention Expo.
Animation Expo. And it was really cool to get to see them do their thing.
They came out from Nashville and it was really awesome.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's so funny how there's so many different facets of this industry of like what you can be doing. And, you know, it's kind of just good to kind of like you know, just really look at how like big and small it is.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's encouraging. And with that, thank you guys for tuning in with this conversation and listening to our little man and bearing with us as we make it through kind of a rough weekend. We are so thankful for this conversation with Arlie, and we hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did. Nadia, do you have anything else to say?
No, I think I'm so excited for this episode. Again, I'm going to have to listen to it again. I'm so thankful for Arlie and the time that she took to come out. And it's been really cool just to, I've known her for a little while, and she had, you know, cast me in a job hired me for like a film a couple years ago. And anyway, it's just been really interesting to kind of like see how her career has evolved and, you know, all the things that she's into, and just her professionalism in this industry and her job as a casting director is just invaluable. It's great.
And stay tuned for next week.
Peace.